On this episode of Conspiracy Realist.
You're Italian, how would you pronounce that?
Please, unlimited breadsticks, don't forget that.
BBW. Is BBW something in porn?
Love me a good flower.
They surveyed the sky for alien radio signals for 22 years between 1973 and 1995, which officially made it the longest search of its kind in history.
What's going on, YouTube?
Welcome back to another duck sound ASMR.
Where we go. The sound of hunters. The hills are alive with the sound of hunters.
It is hunting season. Be a really good...
The duck hunt dog.
Yeah. That would be such a funny duck hunt movie if they did it like from the perspective of the ducks, and it's a horror movie, and this dog and hunter are coming around, like, getting them. It's like a slasher flick, but ducks.
Not the light gun. Welcome back to Conspiracy Realists, the podcast where we are,
you know.
We talk about conspiracies. We say we try to convince each other of respective conspiracies each week, but there's usually not much convincing. It's usually just... Here's what these people think about this. What do you think about this?
Yeah, more often than not, it's just like, man, can you believe these fucking idiots?
Yeah, but hey, I mean, we provide the evidence as if,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, so. Yeah, it's not like we don't skew it. It's here's what they're saying, and here's what
believe it
is
or
available
don't.
Out
Ripley's
there. Yeah.
Believe it or not. Yeah. So, truth is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, and if you know, the more bees you can hold.
Right,
the more truth you have. So,
it's just how it
if you're allergic to bees, kind of just
f*** off.
Yeah, sorry, get out of here. No honey for you.
Not much to say about you, you know. All right, so coasting off of truthism in two parts, and then the Mongolian death worm. What have you got for me?
Yeah, I was like, I could go any number of ways with this. So we could go further down the truthism rabbit hole because I found more info. We could go, you know, something light, something a little playful, but I thought I would go something kind of not too crazy, something a little more believable. I think I wanted to go for this time
because
we've been hitting a lot of crazy stuff, and we hit the cryptids, which are
something
to talk about. We hit, you know, the queen is the cannibal thing, which is like insane, but we did vote that she was one, so that's where we stood with that. And then truthism was just such a mind that I was like, I need something a little more grounded in reality. So
yeah,
this week I found a story about some researchers at Ohio State University who might have found an alien signal.
Interesting.
So the story starts in 1969. These two physicists from Cornell named Philip Morrison and Giuseppe Cocconi. C-O-C-C-O-N-I. You're Italian. How would you pronounce that?
Gabagool.
Giuseppe Gabagool. They speculated.
Perfect.
Nailed it. Dude, my Italian's so good. Can I get the pasta fagioli? As those who attend dinner at Olive Garden are wont to say.
May I have the filet mignon?
Cabernet Sauvignon, please. Fettuccine Alfredo. And unlimited breadsticks. Thank you.
Please, unlimited breadsticks. Don't forget that.
Actually, hold everything but the breadsticks. Or you get a salad, and then they bring out the block of cheese, and they're like, just say when. And you just stare at them as they... you never say it. They're like, is that enough? You're like, no. They just go through the entire block of cheese. You say more.
I'm never going to say when.
What are you going to do? Charge me for it? It's free.
It's free cheese.
With my meal. Is there? I wonder, is there a fine print limit on cheese at Olive Garden?
Like a cap. A cheese cap. A shredded cheese cap.
If you have enough cheese to make a hat out of it, that's your cheese cap.
That's what's written in the fine print.
It's very small at the bottom of the menu.
If you have enough cheese to make...
Unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks while supplies last. But anyway, so these two physicists from Cornell in 1969, Philip Morrison and Giuseppe Cocconi, they came up with the theory that any extraterrestrial civilization that was attempting to communicate with another intelligent civilization using radio signals would use the frequency of 1,420 megahertz, which is the frequency naturally emitted by hydrogen, the most common element in the universe.
Right.
Their reasoning was basically that because hydrogen is so common, any technologically advanced civilization would be familiar with the makeup of hydrogen.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it was like a safe bet of like, oh, you know, I mean, I guess the logic was like, we thought of this, so someone else must have too.
Right. Someone, if we thought of this,
not
now,
an original thought. So that was what they were looking for. So then 4 years later, in 1973, Ohio State University had just finished an extensive survey of the night sky, which they literally called the Ohio Sky Survey, looking for extragalactic radio frequencies. The university, using that data, assigned researchers in the Ohio State University Radio Observatory, which they called the Big Ear.
Sure.
To the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, abbreviated to SETI, S-E-T-I.
SETI.
SETI.
On the search for
Mystery SETI. after they fired him from yelling at you, they put him to work in the observatory.
Ah.
Animal Crossing joke for those not in the know.
Of course they banished him to Ohio.
Yeah. Like, get out of here.
Hey, I'm a big f***ing mole. Where am I supposed to go?
I don't know. Ohio? Ugh. Don't even bother. So they surveyed the sky for... I had nowhere to go, so I just continued on.
They surveyed
the sky for alien radio signals for 22 years between 1973 and 1995, which officially made it the longest search of its kind in history.
Man, imagine how boring that was.
Oh my god, just... I mean, because, yeah, you're not even looking in a telescope. You're literally just sending out radio
frequencies. You're listening for beeps and boops or whatever, yeah.
And they had a computer that would, like, capture the frequencies written down in, like, numerical patterns. So they were just kind of looking at a bunch of random numbers all day, looking for something that might be interesting. But, hey.
Jeez.
Making the big bucks, probably, because you got a PhD, so. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how much astronomers get paid.
Yeah, there's no way to tell, yeah.
They could have been making pennies. Maybe it's like a commission basis. You only get money if you find something. So they're really like...
Well, that's f***ed up. Hey, you're not going to get paid unless you find aliens.
Oh, no.
Ah, shit. What did I get my PhD for?
It's like, I went to school for astrophysics. Why am I doing this?
Get some. How was work, honey? Find any aliens? Nope. No aliens today, honey. Maybe tomorrow.
Anyway, get the Wonder Bread out of the freezer because that's what we're having for dinner.
Yeah, again.
Again. They just thaw it and char it on an open flame onto the stove, not even a skillet. No butter, no cheese, just crispy white bread.
Crispy white bread.
This episode of Conspiracy Realist is brought to you by Crispy White Bread. Have you ever thought, man, I love the soft taste of good wheat bread, or that brown bread with the seeds on the top? You know the kind. That good old-fashioned Cheesecake Factory brown bread, maybe with some cinnamon butter. But if you thought to yourself, man, I could really go for a hard piece of thawed sugar disguised as bread with a little bit of char on it, well, good news for you, buddy, because we've got crispy white bread. Come on down to your local Walmart to get your crispy white bread.
Bro, you can't say Walmart in the pod. He said fall cart.
Come on down to Jimmy John's, where we've got all the bread. Jimmy John's. Free smells.
Free smells.
You can get your Jimmy bathwater or your John bathwater.
Dave or your Buster.
Buster bathwater is not a thing that... BBW. Is BBW something in porn?
Oh, yes. Why? Come on. You didn't just ask that. You know.
What's BBW?
Well, I think typically it's big, beautiful woman.
Oh, okay.
But I guess it could be big black woman, too.
I'm going to Google it.
But I guess a big black woman could fall under the category of big, beautiful woman, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it is big, beautiful woman. Yeah.
Not that I know or anything. I just...
or Bath and Body Works.
Bath Body Works. Or...
Now, do you think BBW.com redirects to BathandBodyWorks.com, or is it porn? It is BathandBodyWorks.com.
Wow, that's
the mystery.
Risky.
The mystery did not live long.
Yeah, I would be afraid to Google that.
Well, I've Googled worse.
Well, sure, we all have, but...
Do you remember the first time you ever saw porn?
Yes.
Did you intentionally seek it out, or did someone show it to you, or was it like an accidental
someone
find?
Someone showed it to me.
Okay.
It was... Not like
was it just like normal porn?
Yeah, it was just like it was almost like a digital magazine.
Oh,
so
okay.
Long ago, it was on dial up internet.
Very classy.
Very classy.
That's better than mine.
Which was
mine was an accident.
Oh no!
Someone sent me. Well, I guess someone technically showed it to me, but I didn't know what I was about to get into.
Oh, fair enough.
But I think it was around the time of one of the elections, and they were like, hey man, have you ever heard of this political party? And they sent me a link to lemonparty.org.
Oh, your first porn experience was Lemon Party?
It's just a bunch of old people,
yeah, no,
having an orgy.
That doesn't, it doesn't really get any worse than that.
Yeah, now I have issues, so yeah. Don't let me round your grandfather.
But clearly. Well, my second experience was my friend and I. We were traveling for a soccer tournament, and we stopped at one of those rest stops, and in one of the bathroom stalls was just written in black Sharpie, meatspin.com.
Oh, I'm familiar, yes.
And if you, oh. Yeah, so we didn't know, and then we knew.
Yeah, another one was Mr. Hands.
I never heard of that.
Oh, you lucky bastard. Oh, it's this horribly unfortunate 30-second video of a man getting... by a horse.
What's it called again? Mr. Hands.
Mr. Hands. And there's no indication. You don't know what you're...
Well, yeah. I mean, it could...
I guess that was like a trend. That was the trend of all of them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they... Because obviously if it's called Man Gets F***ed by Horse, you're not going to click on it. Usually.
Because, I think the problem was I think I mixed up Mr. Hands and Salad Fingers.
Ooh, that's a big mistake. That's a big mix-up.
It's a big
That's
mix-up.
A detrimental mix up.
I was like, what's that thing everybody's talking about? Like Mr. Hands
Mr.
or some
Hands?
Shit?
Oh God. Oh no.
I was like, why are you guys into this?
Everybody's watching this.
And then I saw Salad Fingers and I was like, wait, this is also weird.
Yeah, not much better, honestly.
No. It was one thing that was the one thing I could never get into.
Nah, it
just
freaked me
out.
It
made me so horribly uncomfortable.
Just like, ugh, stop it.
Yeah, it's ugh. Which is weird.
Yeah.
So anyways, after 22...
So Beep Boops in Ohio, they're surveying this shit
yeah,
for 22 years.
Yeah, after 22 years. Dull years of being in Ohio, listening to radio signals.
Far out.
They actually found their first, like, their first big find took place in 1977, so it was only 4 years into this program.
Oh, shit, in the 70s,
all
right.
Yeah, they were making pretty good progress, all things considered. On August 15th, 1977, volunteer astronomer Jerry Emin was working at his computer at the Big Ear when he made a discovery that would change his life. The Big Ear had picked up a signal near the Sagittarius constellation, and Jerry was so surprised by the intensity that on the computer's printed readout, he grabbed a pencil and started hastily writing out the word, "Wow," with an exclamation point. The sequence of numbers that he saw that made him write this, not gonna mean anything. It was 6EQUJ5.
Okay, so also he was a volunteer, so I guess
a lot
of...
Yeah, he was not getting paid?
He's just, I'm gonna listen to some Beep Boops for the good of man.
So the sequence of numbers, 6EQUJ5. I found an explanation of that. This guy named Michael Brooks, he's a science writer. He wrote a book called 13 Things That Don't Make Sense. And he broke it down basically saying the letters and numbers are essentially a measure of the intensity of the electromagnetic signal as it hit the receiver. Low power was recorded with numbers 0 to 9. As power got higher, the computer used letters. 10 was A, 11 was B, and so on. So by basically towards the end of the alphabet meant you were getting a stronger signal.
Right. Okay.
So when he saw 6EQU, the U was the big thing that stuck out.
Because
it was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's far.
We're getting, getting near the end. They basically called this thing the WOW signal. That was, that was the official name.
That's a good name for it. Wow.
I read another interview with this girl named Molly Gallagher. She was a graduate research associate in Ohio State's Department of Astronomy. She said the WOW signal occurred at almost exactly the expected frequency, like the frequency of hydrogen, 1,420 megahertz, and it was about 30 times more intense than the noise level surrounding it. She then said, over the years, people have considered different theories. It's not a comet. There weren't any planets in that area at the time. There were not any known asteroids in that area that could have reflected light. So it sticks around in popular culture and in the scientific mind because it hasn't officially been explained. Nothing as far as understand. No, I think that was more recent. I didn't mark a year down for that, but
so that was
a recent article. Of her talking about,
any evidence at all they got was sometime in the late 70s, but it wasn't anything significant enough to like. And then the WOW thing was more recent.
The WOW thing was 77.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. That was their first big breakthrough, was the WOW signal.
Was the WOW signal. And people wrote about it and was trying to decipher what the WOW signal meant was more recent. Or what? Am I just...
No, that was then also.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And yes, and in 1970... No, I might have been explaining it badly. In 1977, the astronomer Jerry Emmon saw the signal written out, wrote WOW next to it, and they called it the WOW signal. The other guy, Michael Brooks, wrote about it later. And this girl, Molly Gallagher, also talked about it later on, like 30 years after.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so she was just giving an explanation saying, like, in this time, since this happened, since 1977, no one's actually found an explanation as to what this thing was.
Mm.
So they just know it was a big sound broadcasting at the frequency of hydrogen that researchers theorized would be what aliens would be sending out. And no one has been able to come up with a satisfactory theory that would be something else.
Mm, okay. Yeah, no, that tracks. And especially on the assumption that aliens would use hydrogen-based whatever because they don't know how technologically advanced we are, more or less. But they're like, okay, well, these guys have to at least know what hydrogen is.
Yeah, assuming they followed like a similar logic that we would.
Right, right, which like, that's up in the air,
yeah.
too. But
yeah, because they, for all we know, they could have been like, we should send out the frequency of xenon because they would get it, you know?
Right, right.
Everyone knows what xenon is on Glorfdorf.
I guess the credibility there is that the abundance of hydrogen in the universe.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. It's a good logical point to go
from.
Yeah,
I follow that.
I found an interview with Jerry Emmon, the original discoverer of the sound, 17 years after in 1994. He said, we should have seen it again when we looked for it 50 times. Something suggests it was an Earth-sourced signal that simply got reflected off a piece of space debris. But later on, he basically took that back and was like, yeah, no, we did more research and there's no way that something in space would have been able to produce that signal just reflecting something off of the Earth.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it seems like one of those things where, like, they're so serious about their jobs and so professional and so educated that they're looking for every other explanation that it could be without saying, oh my gosh, it has to be extraterrestrial. So I think working theory.
You don't want
to
just come out and say that right away and then have someone be like, no. Right. It was...
In his initial working theory, even though it was an Earth based signal that bounced back, which would probably be the most plausible thing in the assumption that extraterrestrials do not exist. But then they kept researching it. So they were like, maybe, but let's look more into this because we can't say that for sure or for not. And then they did, and he had to backpedal on it because more research apparently showed otherwise, from what you're saying.
Yeah, the scientific explanation for, like, the debunking of that was that they basically consider that frequency, 1420 megahertz, it's part of what they call the protected spectrum, which is a frequency range reserved for astronomical research in which terrestrial transmissions are forbidden. So they only use that frequency when they're doing stuff astronomically. So no one on Earth can actually broadcast at 1,420 megahertz.
Ah.
So there's no way that it could have been something from Earth sent up.
Because who would have done it?
Right.
But did people on Earth have the capability? No one just has access?
I don't know. Yeah, here, I followed the Wikipedia link, and it basically writes out the range that everything uses. So amateur radios... Radio regulations of the International Telecommunication Union allow amateur radio operations in the frequency range 1240 to 1300 megahertz and amateur satellite uplinks from 1260 to 1270 megahertz. Digital audio broadcasting 1452 to 1492. Aircraft surveillance 960 to 1215.
Telecommunications. So
basically... Yeah, they basically just... Anything else they make never hits.
It was too high to be Earth-based, basically.
Yeah, because even and then digital audio broadcasting goes higher than 1420. It starts at 1452.
Oh,
so that's like a gap area in the middle of everything that nothing ever touches.
Gotcha. All right, yeah. So that's strange for sure.
Yeah. So after studying it more, they basically ruled out it being a satellite transmission, military signal, aircraft signal, broadcast beam, accidental beam ricocheting off space debris, and then the only other big theory they really considered was that it might have been something natural, like a pulsating star. That's the big thing with the scientific method, is you want to see something repeat.
Right.
But the WOW signal was the only reliably recorded sound received from deep space that has the quality of an intentional signal.
Mm.
And basically what we're left with is, like, nothing else has ever come up with that frequency. It itself has never repeated, but they've never found anything else, like a pulsating star or a satellite, that has produced something of that frequency either.
So it's quite literally an anomaly.
Yeah, and no one's officially saying that it's extraterrestrials, but, like, that's the one thing that they actually can't rule out.
Yeah, right, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
And I found, like, a few articles that did say, like, recent ones, 2021. One of them was just like, oh, alien signal debunks your alien signal found to be a hoax. Turns out it is just a signal bouncing back from Earth, but I'm like, yeah, but they literally already ruled that out, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's what they want you to think. Well, I think that always the people that, you know, believe in any sort of extraterrestrial stuff, one of their big points is typically that we've been conditioned by the media and people in power to say it's so ridiculous that it would be extraterrestrials and aliens, to kind of be a shield so that everybody mm-hmm. will... be like, oh, you're crazy for thinking that, or you're insane, oh yeah, aliens, good one. Because I've seen several articles that kind of bring that point up, that it's part of them not wanting us to know, with Area 51 shit too, is that they want us to believe that it's crazy so that they can hide it better, because it's easier if you're just controlling the masses by making them believe subconsciously that it's just so unrealistic, than to actually try to convince them that it's not scientifically. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but I follow what they mean by it.
Yeah, it's a very common... I was watching that, I think it was on HBO Max. J.J. Abrams just produced a documentary about UFOs.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
And a big part of that was them talking about the Phoenix lights and how a bunch of people across Arizona saw these lights in the sky at, like, the same time. But then seconds later saw them. I think, I don't know the geography of Arizona, but I know people saw them in Phoenix, and then like 5 minutes later they were across the state. And everyone was reporting this same anomaly of lights, to the point where Arizona government had to come in and say something, be like, yeah, we're looking into it. And there was one woman journalist, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment, who was very strongly trying to report on it from an earnest journalistic perspective.
And she committed suicide.
No. No, she's still alive, thankfully.
But, well, not that she actually killed herself, but that they killed her and framed it as suicide. I thought it was going to be one of those.
I guess like,
that'd be too obvious. But, I mean, look at Epstein. So.
No, they did, like, an even worse thing, almost. They humiliated her and, like, totally ruined her credibility. Oh,
so it's like the McDonald's coffee lawsuit. Yeah. Make them look so crazy. Make them look so crazy that no one could ever believe them.
Exactly.
That's probably the smartest way to go about it.
Yeah, the governor at the time came out. He called a press conference, an emergency press conference. And he came out and started speaking. And then they had somebody else in an alien costume come out. And he was like, oh, whoa, look, an extraterrestrial. You guys are so serious about this stuff. Yeah, when he did that, it basically just killed any real conversation about these things.
Which, it begs the question. It almost gives it more credibility because it's like if they had nothing to hide, they wouldn't go through the effort of trying to make people look so ridiculous.
Exactly. Especially when you find out that at the time he had been facing several lawsuits about like tax fraud or something.
Always
tax. So you're like, did someone strike a deal with this guy?
Yeah, well, that's all shady shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, Roswell was initially said it was a military aircraft or something.
Yeah.
A military test. And then they backpedaled on that. Like, I don't know the full Roswell story. I do want to do it on this podcast eventually because it's such a big one. But I know that there's so much suspicious stuff that happens with it. Like, been like, oh, no, it was this and went on with their lives. But it was just, like, so much like, well, it was this. No, it was this. No, it was this.
Right, yeah. It's like, it's like the more you change the story, the less any of them are believable.
And it's not like in the case of the frequency that we're talking about here where they thought it was one thing but did more research and was like, okay, maybe it's that thing, because they were doing that like legitimate hypothesis and
yeah, and they,
you know,
they never came out and said definitively it was one thing, except when the dude was like, oh, it was most likely it was this, it was just a signal bouncing back.
Right, but those were all like tests and researched. This was just the government coming in and saying, no, it was this. No, it was that.
Don't worry about
this.
That. Sorry. That was nothing. That was just...
take our word for it.
We were just making a blimp. Blimp fell. No worries.
Blimp. You know, the Roswell blimp. Yeah, come on, guys.
We've been talking about this, guys. Have you not been listening? New York Times headline last week. Big blimp festival happening in Roswell, New Mexico.
Now, who's going to come to the Roswell blimp festival?
Local sheriff says, Roswell. Best place for blimps. We've been talking about this. You guys are crazy. You have not been listening.
Great cuckoo.
Is the government gaslighting us?
Yes.
No, you're just crazy. Gaslighting isn't
real.
You're
crazy. Yeah, okay, aliens.
that's what they do is you go, hey, I think the government's lying to us. And they go, shut up, you're an alien. Kill him. We got him, guys.
You're crazy.
We were that whole you're time, crazy. We were just trying to lure the alien out. And now we did it. You're safe. Don't worry. Thanks? Meanwhile, Dick Cheney's just fucking a Mongolian death worm in its throat hole.
It's so just like goopy and sandy. And it's not like.
What if the Mongolian death worm was the alien that landed at Roswell?
Trying to escape.
You just see a bunch of agents pop out of the bushes around the crash site, guns aimed at it. And
I thought you said Asians. I was like, why?
I mean, maybe some of them are.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Bunch of agents pop out, guns aimed at it.
Agents.
Come out with your hands up. Worm slithers out. All right, set your blasters to kill mode. I f***ing don't know how government agencies work, evidently. Set your blasters to kill mode. No, wait. Mr. Vice President. I'll handle this one.
And they never saw it again.
What an American hero. Yeah, and he always just seems happy. Just seems happy all the time. Just in a constant state of euphoria.
I feel like I faintly hear like a sobbing coming from his trousers.
Oh, that's just his cell phone. This is crazy text tone, Mr. Cheney. He's got a worm f***er face. Everyone knows it.
Oh, for sure. You look at that. That's a face of a man who f***ed worms.
Oh, absolutely. And then he cut it in half so he could have two of them to be his friends.
That's f***ed up. That's fun. You can't really do much more of a up thing to a worm than to cut it in half and make more of it for your own enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. So I, out of curiosity, typed into Google how many times can you cut a worm in half before it dies. Was really happy to see that that was an autocomplete result, so I'm not the only one who's looked up that.
Right. No, I mean, I guess that would be, like, the next natural step of wanting to know.
So, how many? Here's what livescience.com says. You may have been told as a child that an earthworm will regenerate into two new worms if it's cut in half crosswise. But if you've ever experimented with the tube-like animals, you've probably been disappointed. Though it may not seem like it, earthworms have a distinctive head and tail. The head of the worm is always located on the end closest to the swollen band, called the clitellum.
Sure. Sure it is.
I cannot believe that it's called the clit.
It's the worm. It's the worm's clit.
Oh,
clit.
My God. If an earthworm is split in two, it will not become two new worms.
What?
The head of the worm may survive and regenerate its tail if it's cut behind the clit, but the original tail of the worm will not grow a new head or the rest of its vital organs and will die.
Oh, wow.
So.
I guess you learn something new every day.
Now, if you were experimenting with a planarian flatworm,
which I doubt,
which is part of a separate phylum, that one's able to reform its entire body from slivers just 1/300th of its original size. So, wow, when a planarian regrows its head after decapitation, the creature just remarkably keeps all of its old memories.
I wish I was a flatworm.
Yeah, wow. Wowee.
I could be a flatworm and drink rat sperm.
They're like fish-looking things.
Yeah, flatworms.
Even...
Yeah, flatworms are sick.
Huh.
Love me a good flatworm. Anyway.
Wow.
So that's really it for the frequencies?
Yeah, that's pretty much where it ends. I was even trying to see if people had, because they're trying to figure out what the actual broadcast was, like if there was a message in it or anything.
Or if it was just a f***ing sound.
Yeah, and basically the Jerry Emmon, most recently, the thing he said about it was no conclusion was ever made other than that it certainly had the potential of being a signal from extraterrestrial intelligence.
Which is more than you can say about most frequencies.
Yeah. He says he gets emails every now and then from people who look at it and interpret the data in different ways.
That's interesting.
But people are looking at this thinking it's a direct alien code as a message to humans.
Mm.
And that you can, like, cipher it and figure it out. But it's not. The combination of numbers and letters in the printout was a convention set by human astronomers at the observatory.
Right, right. So there's no way to... Even if it was, there'd be no way
There's
to
literally
know.
Nothing to it. There's really no theories about what it might even say. They just know it was a frequency at that.
Yeah, and it could be like... They could be on such a separate plane of technology and existence that we only heard... That was all we could hear
right.
from their frequency. That we don't have the capability to hear what else was maybe sent with it, if it was aliens. I mean, I'm just reaching at this point. Like, that's a whole other can of worms. But
the only thing they said that was, like, kind of ruling out the alien theory was that if it was aliens trying to directly communicate with other aliens, they probably would have set the frequency to repeat like we do. But again, that's that's what we do. It doesn't necessarily mean...
That's assuming they... Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's... Yeah. Inconclusive.
Right, yeah. So that's kind of where it left off, is they've ruled
out...
It's
interesting that something grounded in such, like, realism and, you know, real articles with real scientists doing real research has this sort of conspiracy element to it. Because, really, it's just a factual story of something that happened, but the implications that come from it.
Yeah, there was nothing crazy in this one, which I kind of thought there would be. I thought I'd find, like, people online being like, oh, this is what... And I was like, no, literally every source I found was just, like, actual scientific publications being like, oh, yeah, no, we have this signal. We don't know what it
is. Sure is weird.
Nobody knows.
Not going to say what it is one way or the other, because we don't know, but kind of weird.
Could be aliens.
Could be.
But it was kind of nice to get a little dose of some fresh reality up in this pod.
And we haven't really touched... We haven't touched aliens either, so I think that's...
Yeah.
Literally half of conspiracy theories are aliens, so it's better to get it out. It was good to get it out, like, our first alien topic on one that was, like maybe the most believable.
Yeah, yeah, to have something credible and then be like, okay, now we can do the, the other crazy ones shit. And,
yeah, because aliens, I mean, shit, there's so many.
Yeah, especially coming off my last episodes of Truthism, I was like, man.
Yeah.
I just need something that's not an
anything
incel.
In that realm. Well, yeah. I guess the Anunnaki were aliens, so.
True.
Never mind.
True.
I guess.
So maybe this was the.
I guess, like aliens of our reality, not the weird Anunnaki simulation darkness shit.
Right. This was the redemption episode. Yeah. Where it's like, no, we can. We can talk real shit, too. Oh, you can listen to the sound.
Oh.
It's online.
Play that funky music, white boy.
Yeah, it sounds like radio static. Sure does.
Did it sound like this?
Farty Boys ASMR.
We'll have to do a special, like, 0.5 episode of the podcast down the line where we just clip out every time I fart into the mic. We could get 40 minutes out of that eventually.
It's the most downloaded episode.
Just 40 minutes of farts.
That's what it's all about.
Makes sense to me.
A good chance to plug the blog.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, if you guys head over to conspiracyrealists.ghost.io, you can actually find written articles by Nick and I about the topics we cover here on the podcast, to get a little more information at a glance, to get maybe, you know, a little more perspective on certain things, or just to, you know, continue to support the pod and to see it in another form. So I was doing a little write-up about Truthism, found out, basically, I think it was just started as a fan site for this other website, the one that it links to a bunch, which is XEEA12. It was an online magazine based off of an actual print magazine by an Australian author whose name was Amitok Stanford. According to the ZA12 website, Amitok Stanford has been writing on the subjects of good and evil, dualism, spiritual teachings, and alien influences for about 20 years. The website Rational Wiki describes her as a gibbering Australian lunatic channeling the truth about everything. She is very like David Icke with a smaller fan base. Her most noteworthy website is ZA12, formerly a magazine called ZA. The important information therein, in a series of articles by herself and other researchers, covers the divine secrets of everything on Earth and everything in the universe, and how aliens tried to steal her dog.
Sure. Well, it's interesting that she was a woman, and then whoever was doing this fan site eventually...
Right. Went full incel misogynist with it. And it went even further than that, so I was like, who's David Icke? Because they reference him in that sick burn on Rational Wiki. And he's the guy who originally came up with the reptilians theory. He's like the big conspiracy theorist who's been pushing that one. But prior to that, he was an English footballer and sports broadcaster. So he like played professional soccer for Oxford United.
Got hit in the head one too many times.
And Coventry. Wow.
Oh. Well, yeah. That's,
yeah, so he was like, I mean, yeah. Like a pretty... He bounced around a good bit as a footballer.
All part of the Anunnaki's plan.
And then... Oh, but okay, wow, geez. So not only does he talk about religion, or reptilians, he also wrote a ton of books, and a lot of them endorse anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Including the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Of course.
Which is a fake book saying that the Jews plan to take over the world and have a space laser.
Yeah.
So that's it's where they started, and then this Australian chick found that and was like, oh yeah, I believe in this, and then someone else was like, oh man, whoa, that's crazy, wrote Truthism, and then came back a few years later after getting rejected by several women, probably.
Wow, it all makes sense now. Wow.
Yeah, because I was like genuinely trying to find the person who made Truthism and talk to them and get them on this podcast. I still would love to.
Oh yeah, that would be.
I'd be amazing. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know. If I can ever find out who they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's everything I got this week. I think it's a fairly likely story. There's nothing in there that's. I mean, if astronomers can't rule out aliens, I'm not going to.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
I'm not going to be the guy that's like, "F you guys, you idiots." But yeah, I'm down for it. I'm jiggy with it.
I'm jiggy with it.
And speaking of getting jiggy, if you guys head on over to our other website, Austin Nick and Austin and Nick bathwater.http://backforward/down/left/right/ab/jump.ghost.org. You can get the special exclusive double extra limited time deal. If you order bathwater within the next 5 seconds, we pay you.
We pay you.
But if you miss the special deal by even half of a millisecond,
you owe us $500,000 cash. Cash.
500,000 big ones cash.
big ones.
I don't want normal sized dollar bills.
If you don't, you will answer to the Joyzy Devil.
Hey, it's me, the fucking Joyzy Devil, here to tell you all about this special new business opportunity.
Holy shit.
Joyzy Devil's Pizza Pio Restaurante and Snowball Emporium. What do I mean? I don't mean ice. I mean f***ing heroin and cocaine mixed together, baby. That's right. We're taking it up to another notch, another level. You can't believe this, ma.
One of my headphones just fell out of my ear. Well, my earbuds.
Oh, no.
It simply disappeared into purgatory. It's just in my shirt. Well, in the words of the Mongolian death worm.
Oh, please stop.
And in the words of Bigfoot. Let's dive deeper into that. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. Check us out on social media. Our Instagram is @TheConspiracyRealists. Our Twitter account is @RealistsPod. You can always email us pictures of ducks.
Yes.
At twoguysonetruth@gmail.com. But only pictures of ducks and nothing else, please.
Yeah, if you do anything else, we will be mad and we'll probably, like, make it a way bigger deal than you ever expected it to be. And, like, we can't afford court costs, but we don't care. We'll go into debt. So, seriously, ducks are nothing. Ducks are nothing.
Ducks, no f***s. That's what I'm always saying.
He's literally always saying it.
It's like a problem.
Yeah, it's like, all right, man. Oh, Austin's here. Whoa, ducks, no f***s. We get it.
I have a jacket that I wear open. The jacket's open, so you can see the shirt underneath.
Well, sure.
But the way it lines up is like you can. It doesn't look like. It's like you can read it continuously, right? So it just says ducks no f**ks, and like no matter how you wear the jacket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. It'll.
Yeah.
Be
less it's just like one sentence. Yeah. It's pretty cool, actually. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. I might buy one.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your ducks no f**ks underwear at ducksnofucks.ca. I had to host it Canadian. You can also on Amazon buy duck with a dick floating rubber duckies.
Oh, wow. Damn. Why didn't we think of that?
I like this review. 5 stars. It's a duck with a dick.
Happened to my buddy Eric a few years back.
All right. Well, that's a good point to end, I think.
Yeah. Now that we're going to, you know, just get into a different line of work.
Yeah,
not saying what. Doesn't have to deal with ducks or dicks. Just mind your own business.
Right, right. All we're saying is if you never hear from us again, you know that it was a success. And if we're back next week, it didn't work, don't ask about it.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.